Hey, for those of you guys who don't know me, my name's Dave Orweller. I'm on staff here with H2O, and I'm part of the city leadership team. I'm excited to be here this morning. I don't know about you guys. Hey, so sometimes, just see if you can connect with me on this. If you wake up early, sometimes you feel like, oh man, I'm really tired because I got up early. Yeah? You feel like that? And then sometimes if you wake up early enough, you feel like, wow, I have extra energy today. Does anybody else feel that? Yeah? Okay, that's a normal thing. Good. I got up really early today. I did it on purpose. And I was worried about being tired, but I'm like, wow, I should do this every day. I feel like, I'm sure if I did it every day, it wouldn't work. I'd just get tired. But anyways, I feel good today. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for what we're going to talk about today, the next couple of chapters from the book of 1 Corinthians. A couple weeks ago, we started a sermon series one, and Aziz has done a great job of introing this series and getting us going. He talked about how the book of 1 Corinthians is really a letter written by Paul to the church in Corinth. Jesus had sent Paul to that city to start up the church there. And it's a letter written because Paul had heard about some problems and issues in the church there since he left. And he had seen that they're not living according to the gospel. And in fact, it's creating divisions and factions in the church. And so Paul's writing this one because he's like, all right, I'm coming back because I got to see you guys face to face. It's been a while. So he wants them to know that. He wants to remind them of the gospel and then address some of these issues that are popping up. And so today we're going to see as Paul really, he confronts them about their just worldly thinking and really explaining to them how to think like God thinks, because they weren't doing that, how to have the mind of Christ, and honestly, really, how to stop being immature and grow into maturity. It's a good letter, right? Anytime you get called out like that, it would get your attention to listen to. So we're going to talk about that this morning, but before we jump in, let's pray. God, thanks for today and just the opportunity we have to be here and to come together as your church, and I thank you that we can just come before you and worship, and I thank you that we have this opportunity to look into this letter that Paul wrote, and we just pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning individually and then us together as a congregation, God, that we would learn what does it look like to think like you think, to have the mind of Christ, and for that to affect our lives and be lived out in our lives. And so we just pray for your blessing on this time, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. So have you guys ever stumbled upon an area in your life where you realized you have a special skill or ability? Maybe? Yeah? A couple? People? Yeah, I'm assuming you all have to some degree. Well, a lot of you guys may not know this because I don't like to brag about myself, but when I was in high school, and middle school, high school, maybe even into college a little bit, I discovered that I had a special skill and ability. What I realized is I might be the best international superstar soccer 64 player this side of the Mississippi, okay? For those of you who don't know, Nintendo 64 is an old school video game system. You may not remember that. It's old school. It was old school when I played it too, so, and not cool old school. It was just weird that I was still playing it, but I love this game. It was so much fun. I love soccer, and you combine soccer and the joy of a video game, and that got me really excited. I love this game. I'd play it for hours and hours until I got really good. And it's an obscure game. Have you guys ever heard of this game, International Superstar Soccer? Nobody. Not one person. Okay, Kyle has heard of it because we lived together in college. More on that in a second. But so nobody ever plays this game. So I was naturally really good, and I would have to play for hours just against the computer by myself because nobody else played. And then I'd play with friends, but they would not be any good because they'd never played the game before, and I would just destroy them. And that was fun for me too. But you know, you start out on an easy level and you're like, okay, I got that, and you move up. Well, I got to level 5, right? And this game is very basic. So the way that they change the levels, like level 5 is just like everything's the same except for the goalie stops every shot. But like a couple, like it's just like very, like he can suddenly do things they could not do on other levels. And it would be frustrating if that happened. But at some point I learned, even at that level, there are certain tricks to scoring goals, and I learned them all, and I could do them. I could just score at will in this video game. And it was a lot of fun for me. And at that point where I could beat the computer anytime I wanted to, score anytime I wanted to, beat all my friends, I just knew, I think I'm the best ISS player, period. And it was pretty awesome, I have to say. I would actually dream of this moment right here. Ready? Here it is. Oh! There's this whole party that happens when you win the World Cup, and your players hoist the World Cup trophy up in the air, and there's confetti. And I would see that when I won, just be like celebrating by myself in that room. And it was so cool. And you know, I was emotionally invested, right? When I won, it was awesome. And if I ever lost, which I did a couple times, I would get so mad. Like seriously, so mad. One time, okay, this is the only time I've ever punched the wall in anger, was when I lost in this video game in the World Cup final. I got ripped off. I wasn't happy, and so I punched the wall. That's the last time I ever punched the wall in anger because it really hurt. I was smart enough to know you can break the wall, so I punched it where I knew it wouldn't break, where there was like just wood, and that hurt. That hurt. There's a reason it doesn't break, because your hand probably does. I didn't break anything. I'm fine. Still got the use of my fingers. Okay, so you might think that phase ended when I went off to college. No, it did not. I mentioned Kyle knows about this. I brought that 64 to college with me and introduced my friends to it, and we would play it. And once again, I was awesome. I could beat them all in any chance. I don't know why they played with me, actually, because it was like just me beating them. But it was fun for me. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know, Alyssa and I have joked sometimes. It's a good thing that she didn't meet me in college for reasons like this. And then over time, we've realized that's actually not a joke. That's actually true. It's a good thing she didn't know me in college. Okay. But aside from all this joking, right, we all want to be the best at something. We want to find that thing in our lives that we stand out from everybody else as dominant, better, right? It's hardwired into our brains, isn't it? Some people, this is how they view the world, like as they're raising their children. We got to find the thing that they're going to be better than everybody else at and then help them to do that and go for it. You need to be better, smarter, funnier, whatever it is. It's what businesses do, right? When they advertise, we're better than everyone else. Well, this is exactly what the Corinthians were doing. And they were doing it within the church, right? We like to think that we don't have those same issues inside of the church, but we do. It can be just as tempting to do this in the spiritual world. Ooh, I'm better at that than everybody else. And this is what they were doing. And so this is what Paul's going to address today. He's going to call them out in their worldly thinking and show them how it's not in line with the wisdom of God. Let's take a look, okay? We're going to read through a lot of scripture today, so hopefully, wherever you came in tired or awake, we'll keep you awake for that, all right? Listen closely, all right? Follow along. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But I, brothers, cannot address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For where there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in the human way? For when it says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? All right, we'll take a break right there. So Paul is basically calling out the Corinthians, right? This is a strongly worded letter. He does this in here multiple occasions. If you got a letter like that, it'd be like, whoa, this guy is calling me out. It's intense. But basically what he's saying is, do you guys not realize you believe in Jesus, and so you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You can have godly wisdom. You can know the mind of Christ. But instead of growing into maturity, you guys are stuck in immaturity. You're full of pride. You're competing with one another. You're trying to show how you're better than one another. You're taking pride in your human leaders. Aziz talked about that last week. Identifying yourself as belonging to them. You're jealous of one another, judging one another, looking down on one another, tearing one another down. Basically, Paul says, it's time to grow up, guys. And here's how. He said it in there. Take on the mind of Christ. Start thinking like God thinks. And so Paul now is going to directly address some of the issues and help them understand, what is the mind of Christ? What does it look like? And how are they missing the boat? So he goes on. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So this is the first thing Paul says to them. You are not seeing us leaders correctly, the way you're treating us. We're God's servants. Paul, Apollos, any other human leader, we are nothing to boast about. God is the one who does the work. He's the one who gives the growth. Our task is not to set ourselves apart by our leadership or our gifts, our abilities, our roles. It's to serve God and to be faithful, to work together with God in what he's doing. You're seeing the leaders incorrectly. Then he points out the second thing. You're not seeing yourselves clearly. You are God's work. Not Paul's work or Apollos' work. You're his field where he's producing fruit. So that means if you follow Paul, you're God's work. If you follow Apollos, you're Apollos' work. It doesn't make any sense to rally around these different leaders, because in the end, there's no distinction. You're God's work that he's doing in you. And then Paul points them back to when he was with them, his example of this. He lived these two things out among them. He says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So we see these two things. Paul lived them out. He was a servant, and he saw these people as a work that God was doing. It points out something else, too, that we will be rewarded for our work. There will be a time when God is going to evaluate each person's work, and good, faithful work will be rewarded. But work that wasn't faithful to God will be destroyed, and that worker will suffer that loss, all their work for nothing. How we work matters, right? Because we're going to receive a reward from God. But let's keep reading, because Paul goes another step beyond that. He kicks it up a notch. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So basically, Paul's issuing a warning here, right, to anybody who's doing work. He's basically saying, take your work seriously. Be faithful to God. Being faithful to God is even more important in this work, right? Because they're working on God's temple. God's Holy Spirit lives in them. It's a serious thing. And he continues on. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Paul's saying that at the end of the day, here's what really matters, guys. You belong to Jesus. Don't boast in your leaders, boast in Jesus. Belonging to Jesus fundamentally changes your identity. Whatever distinctions there were, whatever set you apart as better from other people, it means nothing compared to belonging to Jesus. That's the foundation of godly wisdom. Let's keep reading. He says, this is how one should regard us. He's talking about the leaders. As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. What's Paul saying here, right? They were judging one another. He's saying we need to leave the judging to God, to Jesus. Jesus is our judge. Since Jesus is our judge, we don't need to worry about the judgment of other people because we're not serving them. We're serving Jesus. I love how Paul says that. That's a pretty straightforward way to tell somebody. It's a very small thing for you to judge me. He's confident he's serving the Lord, not these people. But that goes the other way too, right? Since Jesus is our judge, we need to stop passing judgment where it's not our place. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. In fact, that's what a lot of the Corinthians had done against Paul. They're claiming now Apollos, and Paul, he was off, and he's not our leader. So he's saying, be careful passing judgment before the time. God is our judge. Let's keep reading. This is the last one, all right? You guys ready? Stick with me. This is a good chunk too, so loosen yourself up, okay? Stretch. All right. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what's written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world. Sorry, I totally lost my place. There we go. To the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We're poorly dressed. We're buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. That's a pretty strong statement, right? The refuse of all things. And then it kind of changes in tone a little bit. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. All right. We have all that stuff. So at the end of the day, what Paul is saying is follow my example as your leader. He loved these people as God's servant. He's saying, don't be puffed up in pride. Be humble. Honor one another. Boast in Jesus if you're going to boast. Serve God faithfully. Life is not a grand competition to prove ourselves. It's a grand opportunity to display God's grace and mercy and love and greatness. He's saying, follow my example because I love you. A couple different tones in that part of the letter, right? First it's, I'm calling you out. Then it's, I love you guys. Follow me. My example. Okay, so we went through a ton today. You guys still with me? You okay? Still there? All right. Let's talk about how this applies to us. What would it look like for us to take on the mind of Christ as a congregation, as a church? All right, well, first of all, our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. If Jesus is who he said that he is, if he did come to earth and die on the cross for our sins and rise from the dead, proving that he really was God, then the implications of that are huge. That's kind of the whole point Paul's making here, right? He's saying, you guys are just kind of thinking in a worldly way. This has changed everything. Believing in Jesus changes everything, our identity, how we think, how we act, how we treat one another. So if you're here this morning and you haven't settled what do you believe about Jesus, that's awesome. Don't worry about all the other stuff that we might talk about, okay? It doesn't matter. The most important thing for you is to figure out what do you believe about Jesus. Is he really God? What would hold you back from trusting in him, turning to him to save you from your sins? What would keep you from doing that? If that's you, we would love to help you wrestle with that, whatever that looks like. We're not going to try to twist your arm into thinking or doing something you don't want to do, but we would love to tell you what the Bible teaches about Jesus and how to have a restored relationship with God. If that's you, and your connect card, when we have a time to fill it out, just check that you'd like to talk to somebody about your spiritual journey. We would love to buy you coffee, have you over to our house for dinner, whatever, and just connect with you, get to know your story, and talk about how we can help in that process. All right, well then for those of us, we've trusted in Jesus already. We've settled what we believe. And if that's true, then everything has drastically changed for us. So my question for us is, have we let that reality transform how we think and see the world? Right? This is what Paul's saying. That's how we grow up spiritually. We let that drastically change how we see the world and how we think. All right, so my question is, are you doing that? Is your thinking changing? Are you taking on the mind of Christ? How do you know if you're doing that? I came up with the three things that would help you know that you're taking on the mind of Christ. The first is this. If you're taking on the mind of Christ, then in your mind and in your heart, Jesus is becoming greater and greater. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is not growing in greatness, but our understanding of his greatness is growing. It turns out Jesus is greater than I first thought. He's even more powerful than I first thought. He's even more loving and merciful and just and kind than I first thought. And so what happens is that as Jesus becomes greater and greater in our hearts and in our minds, it flows out into our life. We worship Jesus. We want other people to know Jesus and worship him. We start to realize that we have been valuing things in our life that don't matter in comparison, or people. The fact that we belong to Jesus actually does become the most important part of who we are in our minds, our identity. Anything else we would cling to as our identity pales in comparison to belonging to Jesus. Is that happening? Is your view of Jesus becoming greater and greater over time? I think that's the first thing. It's also maybe fundamental to the other two things I'm going to say. All right? But if you're taking on the mind of Christ, then you're growing in humility. You're sort of realizing Jesus is more than I thought. He's better than I thought. This work I'm doing, I'm serving God. Look at this fruit. I didn't actually make that fruit happen. Jesus did. You start giving credit to Jesus for what he's doing, and you stop giving credit to yourself. You grow in humility. Is that happening in your life? And the final thing is, if you're taking on the mind of Christ, you're growing and honoring others and how you honor others. Right? Instead of seeing people as competition or people to show, see how good I am at international superstar soccer or whatever thing that actually matters more to you, you start to see them as a work that God is doing, somebody that God loves. If they believe in Jesus, you see him as God's temple, holy. And out of that flows honor for other people. Does that make sense? Are we growing? That's the challenge Paul's giving to the Corinthians, right? He calls them out. You guys are thinking like the world. You're not thinking with the mind of Christ. You're not growing because of it. And that's the same thing we want to think about today. What about us? Are we taking on the mind of Christ? Let's do that, and as we do, we will grow up into maturity. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to come before you and worship, and to hear this challenge from Paul and figure out how it applies to us. And I thank you that we have Paul's example, and we have the example of others who have been humble leaders, and ultimately an example of someone who loves and cherishes you above everything else. God, I pray you'd help us to think like you think, to value the things that you value, and that would work itself out in our lives. God, I pray that as time goes on, we would see you more and more clearly, that we would see Jesus as greater than we first thought, even more worthy of our worship and our honor. God, we pray you'd speak to each one of us. Help us know what does it look like in our lives to grow in this way. Help us to know as a congregation, what does it look like for us to apply this stuff as we interact with one another. We pray you'd make us humble people who serve you faithfully, and that we would see you bring lots of fruit as a result, and we would just honor one another in amazing ways, God. We pray this all in your name. Amen.